Well, we couldn't be more excited to be here and to really be a part of the Family Life team, really. We've been a part of Family Life now for 30 years as speakers, and then to be a part of the team and be in Little Rock and eventually Orlando is really one of the best things going on in our life.
Yeah, we feel super humbled by it. Super humbled to be with you, too. So thanks for allowing us to be here.
Yeah, and Bob always makes us tell this story. And you'll learn a lot about the Wilsons through one event that took place in our life. If you listened to radio, you might have heard this one time. If you read the book, it's in the last chapter. But long story short, we're going to celebrate 40 years of marriage this year. So 15 years ago on our 25th wedding anniversary, I knew that was like a big one. And I'm sort of a cheapskate. I don't like to spend money, but I knew the 25th is like something we got to spend some money on. And so I started coming up with an idea that I want to take Ann on a trip. When you live in Detroit, that means south, you know, somewhere warm. And I was thinking maybe Mexico. We'd never really been there. And I didn't tell her this, and our anniversary is in May, but I started praying to God, starting in like September, before that May anniversary, for a trip to Mexico for free. And I mean for free. I got on my knees and asked God for a trip to Mexico in May for free, every day. I mean, you're supposed to pray specifically, right? Am I right? I preach that, right? So I'm going to do it. And nothing happened. It's just like the Lions, no victories, you know? And we get into almost, I think, January, and nothing's happening. So now I'm thinking, okay, I got to take this in my own hands because God's not coming through and figure out a way to do this. And I'm not kidding. I'm preaching at my church. I walk off the stage. I'm standing right there, and this young couple comes up and goes, hey, we've never met you. We've been here 6 years. I'm Derek. This is my fiance, Tiffany. We're getting married in May in Mexico, and we were wondering if you would do the wedding. We'll fly you and your wife down there for free if you can do the wedding. I'm not kidding. I look at this guy like, you know, he's like, what? I go, I'm your guy. Yes, I'll do it. There was another pastor, that kid, standing right beside me. He goes, no, I'll do it. I'm, no, I got this one. I jumped in his arms, kissed him on the cheek. He's like, dude, settle down.
And this, the place that we went was an all-inclusive resort, which we had never been to one. But Dave was in paradise because he's pretty tight with our money. And he's like, all I do is wear this wristband and everything is free. This is unbelievable.
I've still got it on. And so here's what happened on that trip. I mean, we did the wedding, but two nights before the wedding, they said, hey, the wedding party always goes to the dinner club and there's
a
show and it's really fun and a great food. You guys will love it. Why aren't you ever there? And we're like, it's our 25th anniversary. We're doing other things. Anyway, so we show up that night and they're all there. And there's like, I don't know, 500-600 people in this big like ballroom. And then we end up backstage because they're recruiting couples to be part of the show. And we thought it was the newlywed show. So we're like, okay, we'll do that. We go backstage, curtains closed, and all of us are saying, what are we doing? They go, we don't know, but we think it's a newlywed game. Curtain opens, MC walks out, and he goes, tonight is dance competition night.
And suddenly we're like, I mean, my stomach has a pit in it because we're terrible dancers. And I look at Dave, and I'm like, this is going to be so bad.
Yeah, we can't dance. We like to dance, we just aren't any good. So he says, these couples are going to dance to music from around the country, and you're going to vote them off
with your applause.
And there's a grand prize, but you're going to vote them off. So we get voted off first dance. That's how bad we are. They're like, you guys are... Go ahead. So we're walking to our table, and the MC goes, who are you and where are you from? Said, hey, we're Dave and Ann. We're from Michigan. The crowd starts cheering. And he goes, you want them back? Yeah. And we're like, nope, we're good. We're not getting back. We end up back. We don't know to this day why. We think there's some people from the Midwest, and they heard Michigan and thought we're their representatives.
So
we end up back.
We end up the final three, and they say, now this time you're going to dance one at a time.
One couple at a time.
And Dave and Ann, you're up first. And so we're like, oh, no, but he says, and it will be 60s music, acrobatic. And so we're like, what? What does that mean?
I said, what do you mean acrobatic? He says, the more acrobatic you are, the better chance you have of winning the grand prize. And he said it in such a way, I thought the grand prize was another free trip back.
Or at least an extension, like yeah. 2 or 3 days.
And so nobody knew this but me, but she was a gymnast her whole life. She can do aerials and flips and one-arm push-ups. I am not kidding. More one-arm push-ups than I can do. So I lean over, and under my breath, I say, you end this with a one-arm push-up, we win.
And then all the competitive juices kick in, and I'm like, yes.
So the music starts. I'm not kidding. It's a little 60s music, and I played in a 60s band, so I love this, but I get out of the way. I just go back here. Because I can't dance, and I just do this the whole time. Did a little Travolta, you know. But while I'm doing this, she is sprinting across and flipping and landing, and the crowd is like, oh, and she's like, I mean, I'm loving it. I'm like, go, girl. Go, girl. All I did.
And so we can tell the music's coming to an end. And so it's a huge stage. So we end up, Dave's on one end, I'm on the other end, and we look at each other just for a split second, like, how should we end this?
And I get this great idea, I think. And it's from God. I know it's from God. I go, oh, I go like this, just like this. And again, she's way down there, so we can't say anything, but I just put my arms in a big hula hoop.
And
I look
thinking,
at her.
What does that mean?
Like, and so I do it again. I'm like, you know, like this.
And so I didn't see it like that. You know, the lights are all on. I saw it like this.
It was this.
Do you see the difference?
No, it was a circle.
And so I'm thinking, oh, it's that movie, Dirty Dancing. Remember Jennifer Grey does? And I think, oh, he's just going to catch me right here. And I'll dive and he'll catch me.
And I don't know what she's thinking. I kept going like this and she kept looking at me. I'm like, I was thinking, you ever been to SeaWorld? Seriously, they have Shamu, the whale, goes through the thing and does a flip. I just like, she'll jump. I'll just get out of the way. She'll land. She'll do a one-arm push-up. I'll get beside her.
Which is impossible. I don't even know what
that
is.
That's what I was thinking, and that was from God. So here we are.
So we look at each other like, got it. And so I run as hard as I can because, you know, as a gymnast, if you don't give 100%, you could get hurt.
She is sprinting like the Olympic vault. She's like,
so
and
I'm
it's
going
like
down.
30 yards.
Yeah, I'm going down. I go down on here. I go up.
And I turn around.
And he's gone.
I do my little thing right here.
So I face plant, basically. Like, I catch myself with this huge thud. The whole audience is like, oh! And they can tell I'm hurt.
I never saw it. I was like this. And I heard this thud, and I heard the audience. And you know when you hear something, you know everything that happened in 1 second. You're like, oh, she thought I was going to catch her.
I am
Boom.
Laying on the ground, and I'm shaking because I'm laughing so hard in so much pain. And I'm thinking, we are the dumbest people on the planet. Who does this?
Guess what? We won first prize. We won a dance competition. So if you want people that won a dance competition, we're your couple. And then they told us what first prize was. Guess what it was? 2 free T-shirts. That's what it was. Yeah,
and
that was it.
The worst part was, even though we laughed about that, I went back home still in so much pain, bruised all the way up to my elbow, found out I broke both my wrists. Exactly.
Yeah. We have a guy that broke his arm here last night, right, Eric? Well, she broke her wrist as well. And so we go back to church and we're like, how was your vacation? She has 2 casts on her thing. Like, it didn't go so well.
And you might think, like, why are they even telling us this story? But I sit there and I think about marriage.
Well, here's the question.
Okay.
What did you learn about David Ann Wilson from that story? Anything? Okay.
That
just
we're dumb.
Check. We're stupid.
Yeah, we're crazy. It's a little crazy. You're right.
We do like to have fun.
We do. But here's what I thought. I thought in marriage, I thought that Dave would always catch me, that he wouldn't let me down, that he would always be there. But I look at you guys, you women, and you know that in marriage we do let each other down and we will drop each other. I think we live in a culture where we fantasize this marriage thing that we think that, oh, this person is the ideal person, they'll make your life perfect. And you know that's not true. And so as I sit there and think about that, I think I'm so glad we serve a God who never drops us. He's always there. He picks us up. He catches us right when we're about to face plant. And it's so good to know that because he is our hope. He is our help. He is our stronghold. He is our deliverer. And so it takes the pressure off of marriage because I know that Dave has dropped me since then, and I've dropped Dave many times since then too. But God is our foundation and our hope.
And when we sat at the weekend, remember, as an engaged couple, we really did think we would always catch each other. Yeah. That's a euphemism for we would fulfill one another. We would be there for one another, that marriage would be easy. It would be happy.
And it is sometimes.
And it was 6 months later when we were just discouraged. And I know you've been there. And I know every couple at some point, here's what we've heard from many couples. I married the wrong person. Because they feel the same thing. I thought this person would make me happy. That's why they marry that person many times. You ever watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette? Please don't. Either do I. But, you know, they're trying to find the one that will give them the life they're hoping for. And then they marry that one. And at some point, whether it's 6 months or 6 years or 6 minutes, you know, they're like, this person isn't bringing me the happiness I thought. I must have married the wrong person. And what we discovered on our 10-year anniversary, which we knew on year one, all the way through year 10, and we now know in year 40, is this truth. You didn't marry the wrong person. You're looking in the wrong place. Because we look here, and we do it even as Christian couples and couples in the church. We still do it. We think he will fulfill me. And if they don't, there's something wrong that they're not coming through. And I think God is continually reminding us. That's what our book, Vertical Marriage, is about. That's what it means to go vertical. You're never going to find it here. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully you're happy, and hopefully they're a wonderful spouse, and you're a wonderful spouse. But if you're thinking that she can do for you or he can do for you what only God can do, your horizontal gaze is the wrong. You've got to go vertical. And the amazing thing about that night on our 10-year anniversary is that's what God reminded me of. Mm-hmm. When she said to me, I've lost my feelings for you. And again, I had no idea. So you can imagine, I'm like, what are you talking about? Not only have we had a wonderful date, and I've spent real money, you know, and I had a rose delivered to the table one at a time, one for year one, one for year two, all the way. Guys, am I winning? Am I romantic? It's the greatest night ever. We talked about our relationship because she don't want to talk. She wants to talk about it. Really, I mean, all that was happening. Then we go parking, huh? Afterwards, we're gonna go parking. Not so romantic.
He disguised it as saying we're going to pray for our church.
But anyway, when she said that in the car, I was not only surprised but sort of mad because, I mean, I'm doing everything for you, not just this night, but in our life, and you are telling me you lost your feelings for me. Long story short, and we don't have time to develop it, but God spoke to me in that moment, and he said, repent. I heard from God. Not an audible voice, just the Spirit of God. Charlie just talked about it. The Spirit of God live right here? Yeah. Does the power of God real in our life? Yeah. Can he communicate from his spirit to our soul? Yes. And I heard him say, repent, and I knew what one word meant. It meant you've lost your first love. You're in love with your ministry. You're in love with your job. You're traveling the country with the Detroit Lions, and you're not in love with me. And if you think this is going to work without me, you've forgotten what you know to be true, what you've been preaching, even on the stage of Family Life Weekend Remembers. I am your only source of life. And when you get this right, this will have a chance. This doesn't have a chance without going vertical first. And so we both ended up that night on our knees.
And I think for me, I think we can do that too, is I had my eyes on Dave so much that I had taken my eyes off of Jesus. I had my eyes on him thinking if he would only fulfill me. And I think it's easy to do that and to put our eyes on our kids and other things instead of we have other idols, and Jesus needs to be the first place in our lives.
And so we discovered that night, and again, we're not perfectly living that out, but man, everything had to change from that foundation of vertical, Christ really being my first love. And I have lost that. I'm doing a study right now. I was reading it on the plane last night, flying with 9 NFL quarterbacks that I've influenced over their career. Some of them still in the league. So we're in a group text, and we're studying Revelation together. I mean, and guess what I read last night? The letter to the church that lost their first love, Laodicea. And I'm reading that again last night. I said, God, thank you for confronting me and us on our 10-year anniversary that 30 years later now, we are madly in love with you and we're madly in love with each other. We are more in love today than we were on our wedding day. And I would have told you on our wedding day, there is no chance that we'll be more in love. We are so in love. We had no idea at that point, did we? We're just kids trying to figure it out. And now we realize, it isn't that we're so enamored with one another, we're enamored with him, and that overflows. Think about the concept of vertical marriage. If I go into marriage without Christ, what do I need? I need my spouse to fill me up. And when they let me down, I'm disappointed. But if I go vertical and I'm filled up from Christ, now I come back to my marriage not needing anything. I've got it. And we act like this is something people understand. No, this is real. I really am filled through a relationship with my Creator. It's real. And He fills me to the point where I come back to my marriage. I don't need from you. I'm going to give to you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How can I do that? I can't. I need her to. But if I have this, I can love her and she can love me. And it changes, am I right? It changes everything. And so one of the things we discovered that we had sort of lost a rhythm in our marriage, and we put this in the book, because even when we got this chance to go on a Today Show and when our book came out, and the first question Craig Melvin, one of the hosts of the Today Show, asked us, and trust me, going on the Today Show, we were so nervous because they won't tell you what they're going to ask you. Think about that. 4 million people are going to watch. You've got maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and they will not tell you. And I'm not kidding. I sat down with several other pastors, and I said, help me understand how I should answer this question. If they say, hey, this is what I was afraid of. Hey, you're a pastor. You wrote a marriage book. What about LGBT? That's where I thought they might go. Thank God they didn't. You know, because that's a controversial question. He asked a great question. He goes, hey, so you wrote a book called Vertical Marriage, so you bring God into your marriage. Is that all there is to it? What a great question, because that's what everybody's thinking. Yeah, you bring a little God into your marriage, it'll make everything great, right? No, here's the thing. It's one thing to pray a repentant prayer on your 10-year anniversary. It's another thing to what? Live it out.
Every day.
Because so many people say, okay, you got on your knees in your Honda Accord, by the way, in the front seat. Don't ask me how. But we got on our knees. And I didn't get on my knees saying, Ann, you get on your knees. I needed to repent. It wasn't about her. It was about me. And I say amen. And then I'm like, okay, now we got to talk. And I look over and she's on her knees repenting as well. And so then the question is, how do you live that out? Here's what we say. I heard Rick Warren say this 45 years ago about your spiritual life. If you want to live out your spiritual life in a real way, you need rhythms. Daily, weekly, annually. I never forgot. He said, divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. And so we just thought in our marriage and in your marriage and in any marriage, think about this. If you want to really have a vital, passionate walk with Jesus, can you do it without connecting with him daily? No. I mean, I preach, and Pastor, I'll be preaching Sunday at our church, and I know so many of our people connect with God one time a week in this moment. I'm like, if you want to be a good golfer, you think you'd be a good golfer playing once a week? Am I right, Steve? Impossible. It's too hard of a game to be good once a week. You've got a daily, and same thing in your walk with God. So think about this. Is it any different in your marriage? Ian's looking at me like, where are you going right now?
I'm like,
this is none of our notes.
Like, I have no idea where you're going.
You know where I'm going. Here's what we've realized about our own marriage and any marriage that wants to go vertical. You got to pray together daily. What's happening there? When you pray, you're going vertical. When you pray together, you're going horizontal. So bring the vertical and the horizontal together and pray daily with your spouse. And some couples have never done that. That scares them to think, I'm going to pray out loud with my spouse. Here's a prayer. We say this as we can remember, and couples laugh, and I mean this. Here's a prayer if you've never done it before. Just get together, hold her hand, and go, help. That's a prayer. Let me ask you, you think Jesus is running that prayer? A couple's never prayed together, says together, God, we need your help. He's running to that prayer. So that brings a daily vertical horizontal thing together.
Well,
right?
I think even that part alone, you all know that we are in a battle. Marriage is in a battle more than ever before, where there's an enemy that's trying to pull us apart. And I think more than anything else, the enemy does not want us to pray together, because when we're together, we bring unity. We bring passion. We bring mission. And I look at you sitting together and think, look at you. Look at the power that you carry as a couple to impact the world for Christ. I think what can happen is our kids get older. I talk to so many couples our age, and like, our kids are gone. We were on a mission to raise these godly kids, and now we're floundering. Like, now do we just retire and we just kind of golf and go out to lunch? It's like, oh, I feel like now we're at the pivotal point of our marriage where now we can really affect the world, not just through our kids, but through our passion together of who God has made us to be. And part of that comes from starting out by just praying together.
I remember early in our marriage, one time I said to Ann, as we're putting we have three sons, they're married, we have grandkids now, but they were little boys and we're putting them to bed. And it was New Year's Eve, and I said, I'm making a New Year's resolution this year. I'm going to pray every night after we put the boys to bed, I'm going into my office, going to get on my knees and pray for their wives, for their purity, for their becoming men of God. And I said, you don't have to join me, but that's just going to be my New Year's resolution. So guess where she is? First night. She's right there beside me. She's loving this. You know, her man is praying every night. And we did this for, 17, 18 days in a row. And, and again, this takes 5 minutes. Think about how simple this is. And there's a unity going on here. There's unity going on here. And I'll never forget, I pray and she prays and we're getting up to go downstairs and watch TV or something. And she grabs my arm like this. I'll never forget this. She looks at me and she goes, I just got to tell you something about what I feel when we do this every night. I go, what's that? She goes, this just like turns me on.
Did you have to say that?
That's how you said it.
Just like,
she said, this is romantic. Okay.
Bob, that wouldn't have flown on the radio.
Yes, it would.
No, I would have said.
Do you hear what he just said up here?
That's true.
That's what you said. And so I looked at her like, do you mean like, and she goes, yeah, praying with you every night. This is so romantic. And I knew what she meant.
It's attractive. Yeah. Like, it's attractive to see you lead. It's attractive to see you like passionate about Jesus and our family and what God could do.
All I know is when she said that, I didn't say this to her, but I thought to myself, I'm going to become the Apostle Paul if this is how this thing works, right? But think about this. If you want a vital, vertical, horizontal marriage, you've got to commit to a daily rhythm, whatever that looks like, a devotional together, a prayer together. But then, like Rick Warren said, withdrawal weekly means once a week Sabbath. It's a Ten Commandment. Once a week, rest. You think your marriage can make it without a connection once a week? We say once a week, date. Get away on a date. Guess where we learned that? We can remember, as an engaged couple, once a week, go on a date, and we were not doing that. We were preaching that. We were not doing that. And I got to be honest with you, many preachers preach great marriage stuff. They don't live it. And we were that couple. It's interesting, right now, Catalyst is going on in Atlanta. It's a conference for thousands, tens of thousands of pastors. Here's the one thing I love about Catalyst, great leadership principles, how to grow a church. Here's what they don't do. Never did they talk about marriage at Catalyst. They need to. Family life needs a partner and say, we will help because pastors are in trouble in their marriages. And so it's real easy, and it's true in the business world as well. I give my soul to my business. I don't create those rhythms in my home. So daily, weekly, and then once a year, and you're doing it right now, get away. Retreat annually. Abandon annually. Get away and pour into your marriage.
Well, I just read yesterday in Isaiah 65, as you're talking about praying, Isaiah 65, 1, this is God speaking. He said, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. And so I sit there and think, God is saying to us, here I am. Come and talk to me. Come and ask me. Tell me your desires. Tell me what you want God to do in your family, in your marriage, in your community. He's waiting for us. And part of that, sometimes it's hard to settle down until we abandon annually to really hear. Even from listening to Charlie, it's like, oh, it just stirs your heart because God's Spirit stirs our hearts.
And so I would say this, and we didn't do any of the talk we're going to do.
I know, I'm just amazed of what
How much time we got? We about done? Okay, so here's what I'd say just to wrap up. We know that you live where we live. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is really hard. Am I right? It's both and. And the gospel meets you right in the mountaintops and in the valleys. And some of you are on a mountaintop right now. Some of you are in a valley. You're struggling. And we know. We've been there. And I'm telling you, the answer is, and it's not a trite, pat answer, it is a real, vital foundational relationship with Jesus that's real, that you commit to a daily, weekly rhythm with Him, but also with your spouse. And if you've never done that before, I challenge you
to take a step of faith to say, we're going to move our relationship more vertical together and watch Jesus meet you. It's real. He's real. He gives his presence. He gives his peace. He gives a power that you and I do not have to live out a calling we can't live out without his power. It's real. Doesn't mean it's perfect. You'll still struggle, but it is absolutely real. And so I would say this, one last thing. The fact that you're here, our partnership with Family Life is a ministry that says what we just said over and over and over in many different ways, in many different vehicles, to tens of thousands of families and couples around the world. And I would say, consider, if you never have, supporting that with your prayer and your partnership, but also financially. It is a ministry worth a valuable investment because it is literally changing lives. We are not here today without Family Life saving our marriage that we can now be a part of helping God use us to save others. So thank you for your investment. And we'll be around today and tomorrow. We'd love to help or talk to any one of you. That's why we came down here. And let us pray for you, and then we'll move on. Father God, thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray for the couples represented here and even the families and the kids and the grandkids that we don't even know, but they represent a legacy of the gospel being continued from generation to generation. And we want to be a part of that. So Lord Jesus, I pray that you would heal, you would empower, and you would meet us right where we are. Change us so that we can be change agents of taking you and your gospel to the world through our families. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.